Hi, everyone. This is Elaine. Welcome to the fifth podcast of Aging into Joy by Living from the Inside Out. I'm going to share with you today my second adventure, along with a prequel story to introduce this second adventure. And I think of it as coming full circle. Somewhere in my 69th year, I decided I wanted to go back to India. And I had been there in 2001 as a tourist, but this time I wanted to go back. And I wanted an experience with soul-searching, deep meditation, silence, and a journey inward. This ties up with my second adventure, which became a mind-body-spirit experience with healing for me in northern New Mexico. It was a 10-day Ayurvedic treatment in an earthship home in northern New Mexico. And my healer was a woman named Yvette. Like so many of the significant moments in my life, there was and is a backstory with an uncanny stroke of serendipity where my energy aligned for my greatest good with little or no effort on my part. And I would like to share this with you because when flow happens to us, it is not that it's unintended. It is a reflection of the alignment of what's the next best step for ourselves. And it comes from a place that we don't necessarily control, but we get to respond to. So I do want to say to you, anytime you have the opportunity to welcome some discomfort of something unfamiliar, but yet is sort of talking to you, go to that place. Ultimately, it widens our comfort zone and offers each of us an opportunity to stretch and grow into our potential. And that is exactly what happened for me. So now let me tell you a little bit about the events leading up to this second adventure of working with Yvette. In 2011, I decided I wanted to go to India again, but this time as a sojourner, as a seeker, if you will. And at one point, I had been thinking and thinking about where did I want to go, and for some reason, I knew I wanted to go to Pondicherry, India. I can't give you any main reasons other than one of the great teachers whose work I had read, Sri Aurobindo, had an ashram in Pondicherry, but I knew nothing else. Aurobindo worked with a woman who he referred to as the mother, and she was the quiet healer. One night, as I was falling asleep, I had this vivid dream or vision. I'm not sure. It was so clear that I saw a building, a red brick building that seemed long, one story, and in front of it was a pond of lily pads. And in front of the lily pads was the Indian Ocean. I have no context for this that I'm aware of, but internally, I must have had context because it came to me just at the time I happened to be wanting to return to India. I was to find out that this center was called the Quiet Healing Center, and I looked for it on my computer until I actually found it, and I found it by Googling the mother, not Sri Aurobindo, but his associate. You know, Carolyn Meese, who is a mystic and well-known author, calls invisible power, or all the power we cannot see, as the primary source of all of our ability to exert power, control, influence, whatever. The most valuable resources we have as human beings are the ones we cannot see. And in the last 15 years, that has been confirmed and affirmed for me over and over again. For some people, this may sound preposterous. It resonated for me, and it played out in a way that flow took over. In other words, I just followed the energy that was coming to me or emerging from me and took myself to India. I arrived at the Quiet Healing Center on January 6, 2011, and registered myself to find out that some of the people there were actually from Europe, from Russia, from Thailand, from all over the world. And so this was going to be an international experience for me. I had my own room, and it was an end room, and it was simple but very comfortable. I remember pinching myself. I could not believe I was physically in this place on the opposite side of the world. I cannot believe that I was here because of a dream and the guidance of my intuition. I looked forward to the 3 weeks of quiet solace and healing that I was about to embark on. The thing about quiet, which was the short version of referring to the Quiet Healing Center, it offered many healing options, including massage and cranial sacral work, yoga, Reiki, and a couple of treatments I had never heard of before, one of which was called Watsu, W-A-T-S-U. It's a water-based healing therapy. Needless to say, everything in this environment was foreign to me. Even the meals, which were completely vegetarian, were sometimes I was eating something I've never tasted before. And I just became accustomed to the unaccustomed practices here. And that's why I can sort of testify to the idea of expanding ourselves into the unfamiliar, because the gifts are huge that come to us. Watsu is aquatic body work, so everything in the way of healing is done in the water. And it's a kind of a passive water therapy in chest deep warm water. And you have somebody who is guiding you, and there is a lot of contact between you and this person. So it requires some confidence and trust in this person, who is basically a total stranger, to help you stretch, to give you acupressure in the water, and to believe that water soothes physical tension and encourages relaxation. She was able to move my body in the water in such gentle ways that it almost seemed I was just there for relaxation and a new experience. But when I got out of the water, and for a few days following, I felt so free of tension. It was almost unbelievable. Needless to say, these sessions filled up quickly. So I did find times that I could repeat this Watsu experience. But then when I couldn't, I needed to find other options. One of the options I chose was on the third day at the Quiet Healing Center. was an Ayurvedic healer, Yvette, and I had never heard that term before. She told me that she was from New Mexico and came here every year for a couple of months to offer healing work. Nothing about her and I getting together made logical sense. I really didn't know what I was signing up for, but there's something about that word that called me. She spoke with a thick French accent, as she was originally from France, and I did have some trouble understanding her, as I don't really have an ear for accents. But somehow we connected. She was the first person I ever met who would tell me about my state of health by looking at my tongue, checking my pulses on each lower arm. And she identified which dosha or body type I was, according to Ayurvedic teachings. She did tell me that I had some imbalances, which contributed to my fatigue and some mild insomnia and other nuisance symptoms I had been assigning to the aging process. She gave me some natural herbs and reminded me again that she lived in New Mexico if I wanted Ayurvedic treatments in the future. Since I lived in Michigan at this time, I hardly gave her invitation a second thought. And these are the moments where I really love to laugh at myself. Because 2 years later, in 2013, I looked for Yvette's cell number in my phone and I called her. And I reserved a 10-day Ayurvedic treatment. I am not exactly sure why, but deep down I knew this needed to be the second of my 7 celebratory adventures. I had not communicated with Yvette since I had left my 1 appointment with her at the Quiet Healing Center in India, but I knew she would help me reach the depth of healing I intentionally wanted, as I was now 70 years old. I already knew it would be unique and unusual. I'll share more with you about my experience doing Ayurveda, but there's a couple of things I want to emphasize, and these are important things. My first question to you is, what do you believe about life? In the big picture, but also in the smaller picture. What do you believe about yourself? Are you somebody who can embrace the invisible because you feel that there's a bigger picture and a bigger energy influencing you, us, as we move through life? So many times we live constricted lives. I've mentioned that before. Some of us are aware, and some of us are unaware of our constrictions. But you know that you're living a constricted life if you're kind of invested in routines, repetitive behaviors, wanting to do things exactly the same, not embracing change that's going to come whether we embrace it or not. One of the things that I learned is that I had to become aware, and I had to become aware of how open or closed I was, and I generally deeply wanted to be an open person, but that was not where I started my journey from my younger years. So life gives us many opportunities to shift or to see with new eyes. And in order to do that, we just have to be open. There's no doing here. It's more about expanding your interests, your intuition, your curiosity, and then allowing things to come to you, or recognizing there's a pattern to what's coming, and it's different and it's new, and are you curious enough to follow it? For many of us, courage is required to go beyond what is known to us. We like the predictable and we find security in the known. That, I think, is the human aspect of who we are. Even if we have outgrown the accustomed routines of our life, we too often seek comfort continually to avoid change. And I'm sure you've heard before that the more we seek discomfort, the more the unfamiliar becomes familiar and it widens our comfort zone. And it offers each of us an opportunity to stretch and grow into our potential. So I'm going to close at this point. And in the next session, I'll talk more about my Ayurvedic experience in northern New Mexico. But just keep in mind that you need to be willing to have trust in what you don't know. Trust that life will guide you in a way that you can reach your potential. So I'm going to ask you today if you would describe a time to yourself or to a friend or a family member when you left your comfort zone and tried something very different for you. How did it feel? What did you learn from the experience? I'm not asking for an outcome. I'm talking about the process of the experience. So just ponder that. And if you catch a minute, I'd be happy for you to share with me through my website, thisiselaine.com. And if you have any questions, you can ask those in the proper place on the website, and I'll be happy to entertain them in a future podcast. In the meantime, have a good day. Have a wonderful week. Take good care.